Welcome to the Alternative Data Podcast. Welcome to the Alternative Data Podcast, powered by Exabel. I'm Mark Fleming Williams. In this episode, I speak to Fabiana Clemente, founder and chief data officer of Ydata, the first data platform with synthetic data generation. In our conversation, Fabiana and I talk through a full introduction to synthetic data. In other news, join me and other guests on Wednesday, the 8th of December at the Delayed Leading Point event, where we will be discussing, is alternative data still alternative? London in-person and virtual tickets are available. So Fabiana, I'm excited to talk to you today because we're going to talk about a subject about which I've long been interested and haven't actually been able to approach and get to the bottom of. So I'm very, very pleased to get the chance to. And that's the subject of synthetic data, which is the business in which Ydata finds itself. Why don't we begin, perhaps? Why don't you just at a very high level just introduce to me what is synthetic data?
Of course, synthetic data is any data that is generated by a computer. So it's not collected from the real world. It can be achieved through many different ways. You have the mock data, but you also have maybe the most interesting that you could see, the data generated by AI models. Of course, synthetic data in its essence is just data that in a way tries to replicate the world's behavior. But the way it replicates the world behavior, it depends on the strategy or how you are using it to generate your data.
So synthetic data, just to put it very simply and bluntly.
Yes.
We have data, which is the stuff which we're actually gathering from the world outside or from your mobile phone or from any source of data. And that is kind of normal data. And synthetic data is data which has been generated. It's been created by some kind of machine learning process or artificial intelligence or something like that for a specific use. And it's not, and that may sound like who would want made up data. There are many ways to make up data, and that's what we're going to touch on. But it's essentially synthetic data is data that has been created artificially rather than gathered. Is that fair?
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. That resumes it all.
Fantastic. So where did it come from? Or at least is it an old thing? Is it something which we've known how to do for a long time and have only just discovering the uses? Or is it a new discovery? Like, what can you talk at all around the history of synthetic data?
Definitely, it's something that have been around for a long time. It's not something that just emerged in the last few years. You know, you have seen the use of synthetic data for many different processes. For example, engineering purposes where you just want to run some tests. But you also see that, for example, in the financial sector, where the use of Markov chains was already widely used for simulations, for example.
There have always been some various uses, but more recently, it has become a more... So has there been some kind of, I don't know, some kind of realization? Was there a moment where synthetic data kind of came of age? Has there been anything which has kind of brought it to more... unleash the uses more recently, specifically?
Definitely. With the rise of AI and the fact that we are now more eager to consume more and more data, so the volumes of data that are requested today are much higher, then synthetic data also gain another importance for the market, definitely.
So as I kind of said in the kind of summary, you know, creating made-up data... I mean, it sounds a little bit like, it can just be pure creativity for creativity's sake. It could just be art, potentially, in terms of, you know, wow, you can create something. But there is also, if it was just art, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. So why is it useful to create synthetic data based off, you know, some kind of artificial process to create data?
So definitely on this case, synthetic data is gaining the importance, or the way it is being used is because it's able to mimic until a certain extent the behavior from your original data. So usually it can be used for different purposes, from, for example, privacy. Whenever you want to provide data to external entities, but you cannot, or you do not want to expose the whole behavior of your real data. So instead of just sharing the real one, you share a synthetic sample. Or you can use, for example, for balancing. Nowadays, there are a lot of concerns around bias, fairness in AI. Synthetic data is a way to correct or mitigate those kind of behaviors. And finally, I guess for simulation purposes. So whenever you want to generate a use case that you don't have in hand, so your data does not map all the behaviors that you know it happens in reality, synthetic data is then a way to produce that exact behavior that you never had the opportunity to collect. So different streams, but all of them very important, and where synthetic data does play a huge role. I think it's sometimes easier for people to understand how synthetic data can play a role when looking, for example, for self-driving cars.
Okay, just before we go into that use case, so I just want to summarize a little bit. So synthetic data, so when we're saying that synthetic data is artificially created data, it's not just artificially created in these cases in which you're describing. It is artificially created in a way which is usually commonly mapped on to a existing data set or a kind of set of trends which an existing data set might follow. So synthetic data will come from, perhaps you can talk, actually it'd be useful to talk about how synthetic data is created to reflect a use case or a kind of base data set. What do you extract from the base data set in order to create synthetic data from it?
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting question, definitely. So we have talked about the past and also about the now. So in the past, for the creation, for example, of synthetic data, it was usually based on, for example, you as a human, you have certain assumptions around a certain behavior. Let's say wind, for example. You have an assumption around the distribution or the behavior of the wind. You pick up on that assumption and you create a model that from that assumption generates new data. So this was the past.
So just to break that down, you assume that the wind is usually usually blowing northwesterly, and then 20% of the time it is blowing southwesterly, then you can make a model which essentially creates 80% northwesterly data, 20% southwesterly data. Perhaps you can randomize it, and then you've got a feel for roughly. You won't be able to predict the wind exactly, but you can predict the wind over the next month. You know, roughly the distribution will be like that because it's always been kind of like that. So you can make up a kind of, it'll be like that. We don't know exactly how, but it'll look a bit like that.
Exactly. It summarizes well. So it's a very rough way to explain it, but definitely it's how it looks like. But on that kind of, way to produce synthetic data, you do rely on a human assumption, right? So on your perspective or how do the way you perceive a certain behavior. Okay, and ourselves as humans, it is normal that you have a perception that does not cover the randomness or the variability that is associated to a certain behavior, right? So what nowadays it is commonly to see is that instead of based on assumptions and basing ourselves on assumptions, we do leverage a more data-driven strategy. So with the new techniques of AI, machine learning, deep learning, now it is possible to use a model that from your existing data learns this kind of assumptions, okay? So instead of having someone pointing the 80% from northwest wind or 20% from another direction, now you have a model understanding even better how does that distribution happens, and probably even capturing things that a human eye would have missed. The behaviors in real world are not linear, and these models do enhance the capability of learning these non-linear behaviors.
So the wind is maybe a little bit of a basic example, but we could continue with it. But so as you say, like to the naked eye or to the basic analysis, you can look at the wind and say, look, it's 80%, 20%. So if we build the data like that, then it's going to be broadly the same. But if you start using the kind of AI and machine learning, kind of if you basically let the computer loose on it, then the computer may work out that actually every time it blows northwest for 4 days, the fifth day is always going to be southwest, or perhaps every Tuesday it's always southwesterly, or, you know, and can actually find much more specific trends and details in the truth in the data set that you've given the computer. And it can say, well, if I'm going to recreate a new month based on the data you've given me, then I'm going to build in like hundreds more rules, because I can actually extract 100 more rules from what I've seen from the data you've given me. So it's just going, it's automated and going much, much deeper into being able to extract the truth in the data set and recreate it more faithfully without, and it's not recreating it because you're generating a new data set, but you are, it's more and more likely to be closer to the real thing when that finally month arrives. Is that fair?
It is fair, because definitely you're not moving on with assumptions. You are letting the data to tell you the story. And that's the benefit. So there is no pre-idea, and there is no limitation around the capability of understanding that the human has. Of course, the wind is a very simple example, but definitely when you start adding more and more variables, it starts getting more and more difficult for you as a human to draw these rules or to draw these assumptions. And that's exactly what the models are able to. They're all able to understand and learn several millions of rules that do design the data that you have and the real behavior that you have. By learning those behaviors afterwards, they're able to generate this synthetic reality. So they know how it should behave. So they generate the variability and the events based on those rules they have learned.
So what this means is that a computer, an AI model, you can feed it some data, and it can extract the rules from that data and create a data set which is potentially much larger than the original data set, but it's a new data set which is entirely artificial, but which could easily have been the next section in the data set you gave it. It's artificially created, but it's incredibly faithful to the data that you fed it. So going to the use cases, let's take them in turn. So how is this useful in privacy?
So it's the case where you do have a data set, and it might be surprising that, for example, things like you are at home, you have a smart house, and some meters or some devices are recording your habits at home. When essentially, if you share this data set, even though it's just a time series, for example, of your energy consumption or whether you open the fridge or not, when you share exactly this data set with an external entity, this is telling a lot about your habits, even things like you are at home, you are not, at what times do you leave the house, things like that. And this is a privacy concern. Mm. When you do this kind of strategy of synthetic data, you are not learning from a single person. So you are learning usually from a group of behaviors, of different behaviors. And what it happens is the model is able to understand the different behaviors or to group them by similarity. And afterwards, you have this kind of distributions or rules for the different behaviors. Let's say you have the behavior of the morning person. You have the kind of behavior of the night owl. And you learn from all the morning persons. You learn from all the night owls. Afterwards, and by having this kind of behaviors, you are able to generate as many night owls or many morning persons as you want. And these new synthetic persons with this new kind of behaviors and different readings do not match a real person. For that reason, it's not possible to trace back to someone. And that's why synthetic data is so useful here for privacy purposes.
So this is kind of, and listeners of the Alternative Data podcast may have been wondering where the alternative data comes in, but this is exactly a potential use case for alternative data, because similarly, a hedge fund manager is interested in a data set for the properties that it contains and for the overall truths that it contains, because that they are what matters when it comes to building a strategy on, you know, how Tesco's will do in its next earnings report. Then a hedge fund manager is not that interested in what Alex Jones bought in Tesco's last week. And actually, Alex Jones, that's what Alex Jones is particularly worried about somebody hearing about, because, you know, they may not want everyone to know what they bought in Tesco's last week. So so there is a potential legal and kind of moral and social quandary around sharing of data and using data and finding ways to use data. And synthetic data can be used potentially as a way to obfuscate that data, which has come from that kind of individual level of, you know, what someone got in their fridge in your case, or what are they bought in Tesco's. And actually, you can create and you can take that data set and you can create an entirely new data set, which is very faithful to the truths which remain in the original data set, but which does not make, you know, Alex Jones it doesn't put him at risk at all, because he's not in the new data set, but just his behaviors are hidden in there somewhere, type thing. And that has been used in some cases. I've kind of heard about it in particularly the healthcare space, I believe, is for that, for exactly the same reason. Privacy is huge in healthcare and using artificially created data sets which closely mimic and match the true data set has allowed healthcare companies to kind of free their data and not worry about privacy concerns.
Exactly. You want to keep the granularity as lower as possible and more, you know, close to the real data as possible. But at the same time, you don't want to be, you know, digging up on who did what and when. You just want the behaviors in the end, because that's exactly what you are interested in study and mapping. So definitely synthetic data is that hypothesis, let's say.
Exactly. Excellent. What was the second one?
So the second one was about mitigating things like bias and fairness, right? So essentially, you do have in some data sets, you do find behaviors that do not take in account fairness, right? So let's pick up on credit card payments, for example. You might have whether the gender of the payer or who used the credit card. And usually there might be some imbalanced behavior that might be something that tell you or point you out towards a bias that, although you as the one that is studying, you are not forcing that bias. That bias already exists in the data, right? So it's something that came like that from the data collection. This will lead to, of course, more bias results in the end by your models. So how do you mitigate this behavior? How do you mitigate the existence of this bias? well, you can use that or do that through, for example, synthetic data. You can either manipulate, or let's say, I'm not saying manipulate, but change the way it learn and give more importance to, let's say you weight the way you learn. When you are learning, you give a different weight to what is your, let's say, preferred behavior versus the minority behavior, okay? And that way, when you are generating new data, you kind of have a new synthetic data that is more balanced, okay? This is something that synthetic data can help you out, right? From the model, the moment when you are learning, you can right away mitigate this kind of problems. And nowadays, the concerns around fairness and bias are just getting bigger and bigger. So this is something that is gaining a lot of importance and traction around.
I think it's very interesting. I think it's very relevant. And I think it's hugely important for all sorts of social uses of data and kind of government uses and things like that. I think probably, and I may be wrong, but I feel probably that this is the least relevant to the alternative data case, just because I endlessly hear how important it is to have the data as faithful to reality as possible. So actually, whatever the bias, mm-hmm. whatever way the data arrives, I think the least you want to actually change what's in the data, the better. So we've dealt with the first two cases of synthetic data. Sorry, first two use cases of synthetic data. So what was the third? It was simulation, wasn't it?
Yeah, indeed. So simulation is definitely one of the, I guess, a personal favorite around synthetic data. For example, we can, to give a specific example, let's say that you have a data set, you have learned the behavior from that data, the patterns within, but you are missing a certain behavior because you were not able to collect it, or because it's a pretty rare thing to happen. So maybe you want to simulate, maybe you want to go ahead and try to get that pattern simulated through the data or generated through the data. So synthetic data does allow you to do it, because first you allow the model to learn what it looks like, the data that you have. And afterwards you give the information to that model, or you condition the generation of the synthetic data given a certain behavior that you want to see. This is how you can benefit from simulations using the same methodologies that you'd use, for example, to generate synthetic data for the purposes of privacy.
Okay. So I can imagine a use case in the financial sphere and the kind of alternative data world for this, in that I know when 2008 hit, then there was a, when the crisis hit in 2008, mm-hmm. then people were reading. And so some people went back and looked at the market conditions in the 1929 crash and tried to trade every day, as if, you know, so they went through and traded every day like that to, so that they could try and understand what 2008 might feel like when they faced with that situation, mm-hmm. type thing. So I wonder if there could be a case where you could, you know, you've got a certain type of data and you could perhaps run simulations of potential future markets in order to inform your investing today. Perhaps you could find a way, and I am really kind of speaking very hypothetically here, but perhaps you could find a way to you could perhaps protect yourself against various future environments by running them through in a simulation with synthetic data, and then placing your investments accordingly. I don't know. I can just imagine a kind of wargaming planning aspect of using Definitely. Artificial synthetic data and a simulation in order to protect yourself against possible futures. Can you picture something like that?
Definitely. As long as you know to what you want to condition your synthetic data, or to what certain circumstances you want to put your synthetic data under, that is totally possible, okay? And definitely, especially when you have already case in the past and now you want to also simulate how it would be knowing the conditions of today, definitely this is something and where simulations or synthetic data for simulations can play a huge role. It's also interesting, I don't know, I was talking with someone the other day and they really mentioned, so there is this conference on quants that is very known. And like 2 or 3 years ago, no one would mention synthetic data or even deep generative models as a possibility in the quant world. This year, the conference was almost all about AI, generation of synthetic data, and so on. So definitely, really? This is a market booming, for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting context. Well, that's very exciting. So where does Y-Data fit in? Could you just introduce Y-Data quickly? I think you've just raised some money as well. So where do you fit into this world?
Definitely. So at Y-Data, we are developing a data development platform for the data preparation stage for data science teams. Essentially, what we do is we are building this product that is centered in the data-centric concept, meaning a few years ago, AI was all about the models. Nowadays, we are understanding that the bigger gains comes from the data. So instead of following the whole strategy of iterating through the models in order to improve results, our philosophy is iterate through the data so you can get better results. So essentially, our platform does give that tool stack and the tooling needed for the data science teams to better iterate through the data, improve the quality of the data, have better gains from the data they were able to collect, and even not, if it's the case of simulations, and afterwards benefit from a more structured bulletproof kind of data set in order to develop the AI models. This is what Y-Data offers, and this is definitely our vision as well. We do believe data-centric is the way to go if you want to invest in AI, and the bigger portion comes from getting smart with the data that you use, and that even includes combining both the real world and external data sets and be able to definitely get the full vision and the full picture of what you are doing.
And to be clear, as somebody who wants to create synthetic data for whatever purpose, mm-hmm. perhaps one of the three use cases that we've kind of run through, can mm-hmm. come to Y-Data, and you've kind of automated and give them the tools to be able to create synthetic data for whatever need they have.
Exactly. So we give the tool for the generation of synthetic data, and we allow the users to control the aspects of synthetic data given their business knowledge and their business context. Okay, so we don't automate in the sense that you just need to upload the data and route right in the other side you get the synthetic data. We rather give the tools so the user knows, okay, this tool allows me to generate synthetic data, let me give some inputs to this model so I can have the right synthetic data for the use case I'm targeting.
Fantastic. Well, Fabiana, thank you very much indeed. That was very interesting for me, and great to have an expert on synthetic data come and talk through it. And Y-Data is clearly very much available for anyone who wants to make use of your services. So thanks very much indeed. And
thank you so much, Mark. And also, it's a pleasure to explain the benefits of synthetic data, especially when talking in the world of alternative data.